in order, to live thy way. For Jesus is coming,
no man knows where or when.
It's your house in order,
for he's coming back again.
There are earthquakes, heaven and the sea. Can't you see my Lord talking to you? You better take heed. Get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order. There are so many homeless people in this world today. But my God, got plenty of houses and land. If you take your life today, there are earthquakes and hurricanes, famine and disease. Can't you see my Lord talking to you? Get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in
order. Oh, do it right away.
For Jesus is coming.
No man knows where or when.
Get your house in order. There are so many homeless people in this world today. But my God, got plenty of houses and land if you give them your life today. So get your house in order.
Oh, do it today.
Get your house in order.
Oh.
Still hang on that wall. I'm going to get to where Nehemiah said they had a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. Name of building.
Anytime you start stepping out for God, opposition is coming your way.
Amen.
We're going to get there today. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2.
We're going to speak on the subject of having a burden. Having a burden for the work of God. And that's a question that when we go through this scriptures and we ask ourselves, do I have a burden for the work of God? Nehemiah chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9, Nehemiah chapter 2. Let's all stand if we can and honor God's word. We don't want to relax on God. We definitely don't want God to relax on us. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what does thou make request?
Come on.
So I prayed to the God of heaven and said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me. Send me unto Judah, unto the cities of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asa, the keeper of the forest, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which are pertained to be to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me.
Look at it.
Stop right
there. Look at it.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask right now that you would just bless this lesson. Like me in my day, Father God, our, the temples of this city are surrounded by ruins.
Yes, sir.
The houses are depleted and dilapidated. We ask right now, Father God, that you would just give us power.
Yes.
Give us insight. Give us wisdom. Give us the will to want to be servants of God.
Yes.
Father God, we pray right now that every person in this room, Father God, would leave here with a made up mind that I want to serve you.
Yes. So Father God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Nehemiah. Having a burden. Having a burden for the work of God. And again, I want to just add one more prayer as I look around and I look at Ray and Joanne, and I know that the allergies are so high. I heard those news, so we want to pray for those who are suffering from allergies today. Because it is wicked outside. So, amen. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2. And last week we talked about the effectual fervent prayers, and we talked about how Nehemiah in his prayer, how he first praised the Lord for how good God was. And then you see he had perseverance. He stayed at it. He stayed at it. This wasn't just a shot in the dark prayer. He stayed at this man. And then you see his penitence. He involved himself. Even though he wasn't even born when they went into captivity, he involved himself. He got into this prayer. And then we see the promises of God, how he prayed back to God his promises. And if you're called to prayer, if you really want to give God's attention, start praying back God's prayers to him. Start praying back God's word to him. And Nehemiah prayed God's word to him. But he prayed back God's covenant, God's promises back to God. Not that God needed reminding. Nehemiah just wanted to let God know, I'm in fellowship with you.
Yes.
I'm truly your man. And some of us, we just put our prayers in the dark. We put our prayers when we're in trouble. We don't know God. And God said, I never knew you. But Nehemiah said, I'm going to make sure you know me, but I know your word. And if you know God's word, you know him.
Yes. Yes.
And then he invited his partners to pray. He invited his compadre, those that were in Judah, his brother that came up. And all of them got together to pray. There was corporate prayer. And before all this was done, before Nehemiah gave God the petition, this was all done. So when we sit around and wonder, hey, God's not answering my prayer. Make sure you're doing this thing right. Make sure you're doing this thing. That's why I always say it. That's found in James 5, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous. Not the perfect, but the righteous. Get right with God, and then you can go to God with confidence that He will answer your prayer. And it's a work of progress. And Nehemiah was there. So let's look at chapter 2. And it says, it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Now Nisan, that month would have fell between March and April. So 4 months had gone by since Hananiah came to Nehemiah and said that the city of Jerusalem was in shambles. That the gates were tore down and the walls were tore down. And last week we talked about the walls. The walls protected the temple. The temple had been built.
Yes.
Okay? But what was happening without any walls, it'd be like you having a beautiful home and no doors and no windows. And people can come and go into your house any way they wanted to. And that's what was happening in Jerusalem. The temple was built, but there was no form of law and justice. That's what the gates represented. The gates represented a place where the legal people met, the lawyers and the people who ran the city. But when the gates were tore down, there was random violence. There was crime going on. The people were lawless. And Nehemiah knew that. And without any walls and any gates, people were coming into the city, coming into the temple, doing just what they wanted to do.
Yes.
Sort of like our churches today. Mm-hmm. Gates tore down, there's no laws, there's no rules. People come and go. I talked to people this week, and I was talking to the chaplain, one of the chaplains in Warren, and he was just telling me, about the different churches where you just come in with your donuts and your coffee and you just sit down and you have the donuts and coffee right as the word of God appears. And that's going on in this city.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Cheerios for 1 euro. I'm talking about folks coming in here in the churches with coffee mugs and donuts and leaving, where do you get the stuff at? Panera bread and Dunkin' Donuts and all that stuff. And they come right into the church. confused. Old fashioned. It's a new day. We doing different things in church now. We can come as we want to come, any way we want to come. And it came to pass. 4 months had gone by. Nehemiah was still praying. He was still mourning. He was still weeping. He was still fasting. And I'm not advocating anyone going a 4 month fast. That's not what this teaches, right?
All right.
Okay.
Good job.
Something goes, oh, Nehemiah 4 months fast. I'm gonna go 4 months fast and God waiting on me. That's not what I'm teaching. But between his mourning and his weeping and his praying, he was fasting. And fasting is good. Jesus even said fasting is good. He told the Pharisees, when you fast. He didn't say anything. He didn't say you should fast. He said, when you fast. So fasting is good. It has to have a detox. It can clean your system out.
Yes.
Most of the time when you go to the hospital, get any type of surgeries, many of us in here this year have had colonoscopy, and they ask you to fast.
Right.
So fasting is just not only good, it can be helpful. But Nehemiah had went 4 months, and the text says, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was given unto him in that 20th month. Remember from last week, Artaxerxes had been the king for 20 months. 20 years, rather. But I mean, man, he was a good king. And he was a wise king. You don't stay in the business for 20 years without being wise. He was a good king. In that sense of the word. But wine was before him. So it was a time of relaxation. Remember we talked about last week that the rules had been suppressed, and it was every man doing what he wanted to do. And this was a time of pleasure for this palace. And Nehemiah was in Shushan, the palace. This was a wonderful place.
Right.
He was living the very best life. Okay? He was living his best life now, in that sense. I don't think Nehemiah was enjoying himself. Okay? Some of us would. Some of us, our prayers would be loaded if God would ask us more. Any prayer request and say, be blessed, we'd probably be on. No, I don't want to say on a cruise, because you've got to remember it's on a cruise right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we see that Nehemiah is in the palace, living a good life. He's been praying and fasting for the last 4 months because Hananiah, his brother, had came to him and told him that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down. And the people were being afflicted and they were under reproach. And afflicted means they were suffering physical harm. They were being beaten. They were being possibly persecuted for their faith. And then they were under reproach. I mean, they were just being mocked and ridiculed. And Nehemiah was living a good life. He was living the absolute good life. And then he had a conflict of interest. Have you been there? Have you had a conflict yet? Have you had a confrontation with God? Has God came into your little world and said, you know, you need to get right with God? And then you sat there and counted the cost, knowing what it was going to cost you. And say, this is going to cost me something. Now you have a choice to make then.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to lay down the things that you know? Because immediately when I say that, everyone in here say, I know. We got that little personal God. That little G that we worship. And we know if we come to the real God, we're going to have to deal with it. We went out yesterday, the men went out to breakfast yesterday. We had almost 10 of us. And there was an old friend of many of us that was at the restaurant. And immediately he saw me and he's like, you don't golf no more. I said, no, God took that. You know, God took that. He said, oh, man. And, you know, I said, God took that. Because God knows how I feel about it. And he knew I couldn't be both. And he delivered me from it. I put it like that now. But it's going to cost you something. Folks, it's going to cost you something. To serve God. To serve God, to live for God, and to be comfortable and confident in prayer, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to lay something down.
That's right. Part 6 in verse number 1, we're going to move into this text. There's really some really great principles on Christian living that's found in Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, Nehemiah says, now I had not been before time sadly in prison. Nehemiah was working in the palace. He had the top job in the country. He had the top job. And it was a privilege for anyone to work in the palace because you were privy to everything that was going on in the palace. And he said, I had not been before time sad in his presence. How many of our bosses would say that about us? How many of our bosses, if we went to the post office or the Packard or the General Motors or to the correctional facility, and how many of our bosses would say, I've never seen this person upset about anything, sad about anything, down and out?
Yeah.
How about you, Sylvia?
Let's say something.
That's saying something. That's saying something. Look at verse number 2. This is an easy text, so we're gonna be staying right with it. Those that are here and visitors, grab a few Bible, turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. We go right down the text here. I know we got some visitors here. We go right down the text. Verse number 2 said, wherefore the king said unto me. Now there's some lessons to learn from this king that we all should have. And the first lesson we ought to know for this king, he was observant.
Yes.
He was observant. Okay? See, we tend not to be. We tend to be careless with how we handle our business. We tend to let anything and anybody come near us and around us. And I know Nate and myself, I mean, I can be paranoid, I can be a little bit strong with this, but there's a rule, you don't let anyone get inside your hands with. Okay, that's your personal space. But we let folks come up right up on us. Strangers and different things. But here's a wise king giving us a lesson. Pay attention to your surroundings.
Yeah.
Watch what's going on in your world. Watch what's going on in your neighborhood. Watch the folks that just moved in. Watch them strange cars that come up and down the street. We don't do that anymore. I probably can name every car I pass on the way to work here if I was pressed. I mean, I'm on my way to church. The king was observant. He paid attention. And this is what I try to say to the young people. Pay attention.
Yes, yes.
Pay attention to these young girls. Pay attention to these young men. That's why we have an AIDS workshop. Mm-hmm. These young men and young women running around here, one in 15 have AIDS. 50% of all young girls 16 and under have some type of STD. That's just the facts. And we let these folks into our world. And we let them touch us and get close to us. Y'all might not come here for that. That's just a lesson for Nehemiah. And for this king. He wouldn't let Nehemiah. Oh, Nehemiah, what's wrong? You said he was a cupbearer. And if the cupbearer was sad, maybe somebody put the cupbearer up to something. Maybe the cupbearer got a little knife in his back pocket. Maybe the cupbearer knew his wine was poison. This is a wise king. And you go back to Ezra chapter 4, you'll realize this is a wise king. Artaxerxes was no joke. He was a wise king. And he stayed on the throne 12 more years at least after this. 32 years. Watch this. Verse number 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, this is a dangerous position that Nehemiah is in. As a cupbearer, the king is not supposed to say this to you. When you walk before the presence of the king, you're supposed to be smiling and happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the presence of the king. Now you walk in there and you got a long face. He said, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? And that confidence isn't just his facial expression. This is his body language. Uh-huh. I believe the king may have called Nehemiah while Nehemiah was just getting off his knees. Maybe he was just getting off his knees mourning and praying unto God. This was a man who had a burden for the Lord's work. And when you have a burden for anything, it can break your heart. Some of us in here now have been heartbroken for the things that we love. And the people that you love can do the most damage to you.
Amen. The people you love can do the most damage to you. The things that you love can hurt you. And it can go as it can go far as this. I remember when I was young, I had a new car, it was new to me, and I was shining and waxing and cleaning, and somebody ran into it. It hurt me. And that's just on the small level. But when you start raising children and start losing loved ones, losing a mother like I did at 57. She was 57. I know. I sometimes I wonder how we even, some folks unsaved even get through this life. I believe many people die of broken hearts.
All right.
Not understanding death, not being able to bereave and to grieve properly can cause you a lot of pain and suffering. I know folks that parents have died 20 and 30 years ago and still have not been able to deal with it properly because they don't understand life. But we as men and women of God, we understand Hebrews 9:27. For it is what? Appointed unto man wants to live. And then after that, the judgment. Think about these things. Think about these things. Let me share a scripture. Maybe I won't. Let's look at this. Look at the king. Look at the king being observant. Then you ask yourself, make the scriptures apply to you. Young people, make the scriptures apply to you. Okay? Somebody come in your life. You go out on a date. And on that first date, the guy brings a six-pack. What you think he's going to do 20 days from now? Do you think he's going to lighten up? He's on his best behavior the first day. If he ain't opening the door for you on the first day, you think he's going to open it for you 2 years down the road? If he's not treating you with respect and honor and dignity on the first day, what's going to happen down the road? I hope that helps somebody. Smell these young people.
Come on.
Let's get personal.
Come on.
Can I get personal?
Preach it.
Smell these young brothers. Smell these young sisters. Are they hygienic? Do they smell good? That's being observant.
Yes.
Young lady, if you meet a man, he don't smell good. Something wrong.
Amen.
You meet a young lady, she don't smell good. Something wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell my body, smell. Smell their neck. That's where the big glands is at. Smell them.
I don't get that. A lot of churches ain't teaching that. Look, the king. This king was not only he was observant. Okay, he was inquiring. Okay, he was a question asker. You should have no problem asking somebody a question. Ask them a question.
Yes.
I'm gonna pick on y'all today. Ask them a question. Raise 12. It could be 12. Jonathan could be 10 this month. What you gonna be doing in 10 years? Being a rapper ain't a good answer.
That's right. That's right.
Being on American Idol ain't a good answer. Being a professional dancer, those aren't good answers. I'm going to be playing for the Raiders. No, those aren't good answers, young people. When you're 15 and in 10 years, at 25, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah.
That's a good answer. This king asked questions. Look what he said. And before time, where in verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, why? That's a good question.
Yes.
Ask yourself, why you say that today? You know the Lord. You say, the Lord is my Savior. I shall not want. You know all the scriptures. Why you say that today? And we need to be sad over some of the craziest stuff. You ought to be sad over the condition of this city. It ought to break your heart when you hear about what goes on in these streets of Youngstown.
Yeah.
It ought to break your heart when you hear of a young man or a young woman being gunned down. You ought to be sad when you hear of a heroin addict being dying of an overdose. You ought to be sad when you see these young brothers selling crack cocaine to their relatives and their family members. That ought to sadden you. This king was asking questions. He said, why? He said, wherefore the king said unto me, why is I caught in this sand? Sin, no, I sin.
Right.
We ask for a lot of the gifts. Some folks want to speak in tongues. You go to some church, they teach how to speak in tongues. They have tongue classes. Watch this. There's a gift. Here's a gift we all should want. We all desire the gifts. Don't get me wrong, we all desire the gifts. I wish one day we go travel to another country and I start speaking in tongues and people would understand me and I'll be able to preach the word of God like I do, clearly like I do, and they'll be able to understand me and I wouldn't have an idea what I'm saying other than English. And they'll say I heard it in his own language. But you know the gift of discernment is a gift.
Yes.
It's one of the gifts that's listed. The gift of discernment, being able to understand, being able to rightly divide the truth, being able to understand what's good and what's better and what's best. That's the gift that we all should desire. I want to be discerning. I remember Solomon. You know the story. Solomon went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I need help. And the Lord said to Solomon, ask me anything you want. And what did he say? He had everything. He said, to give me wisdom to rule your people.
Amen.
We get ready to nominate trustees. Transfers, that's also a gift, God. Give me the gift to be the best trustee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me the gift to be the best treasurer. I want to do what's right.
Yes, sir.
Give me discernment when I might be doing something wrong.
Amen.
That's a lost gift in the church. We don't want to be discerned. We don't want to close our eyes to everything. We have that ostrich faith. Something come along, you don't need to deal with it. Instead of dealing with it, well, you just bury your head in the sand. You know you got things in your life you need to deal with. You need to be upfront with God about it. So I need to deal with this, God. I can't keep living like this. This isn't pleasing to you, and I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Give me the power, Father God, to stand up to it. Give me the power to deal with what's going on in my soul.
Yes, sir.
Give me strength.
Amen.
To put something down. Give me strength to pick something up.
Yes.
I need to put this down. I know it's killing me.
Yeah.
I need to get out of this. I need to get out of this relationship. I know it's not right.
Amen.
I need to stop going to these places. But I'm hooked. If you think they spend millions and millions of dollars advertising this stuff, then it's not going to have an effect on you.
What?
Do you think for 1 minute that they, when football season comes up, they're going to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on beer commercials? You think they're just doing that so you can laugh at them commercials?
Yeah.
They want your business.
Yeah.
They're not going to show you a car ran into a tree. They're not going to show you a broken home. They're not going to show you how much a DUI costs you.
What?
They're not showing you that.
Amen.
They're not showing you how this alcohol is causing you to be a monster.
Come on.
They're not showing you that. And we laugh at a whole Super Bowl commercial. Nah, listen, that ain't funny. They're not going to tell you that 70% of all men and women incarcerated in penitentiary was under the influence of alcohol when they committed their crimes? Budweiser. It don't make you wiser. They ought to call it Bud Stupid.
All right.
Amen.
But young boys, young girls now, got 40.
Yes.
Young girls smoking black and miles.
Yeah.
Huh? Young girls smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Young men sin. You mean the young woman smoked a cigar?
I don't even have to finish that.
Leave her alone. She got a bag of mouth in her pocket.
Cherry blings. Took y'all way back to hit that.
Wow. Be discerning. Ask God for discernment. Give me wisdom to know the difference. This king had it. And in verse 3, it said unto the king, let the king live forever.
Why did Nehemiah say that?
Nehemiah was in trouble. He knew the king had it. The detective, that he was in trouble. And he said, he was just copping deuces. He was just saying, king, no, it ain't what you think.
Yes, yes.
He said, long live the king. Let the king live forever. He was basically saying, king, you are a good king. You are a good king. You are a wise king. You are the best king that ever lived. And you ought to live forever because you're that kind of king. That's what he was saying. He said, why shouldn't I?
Oh, he get right to it. Now, Nehemiah get right to his heart. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
Now, you stand before the king. If you're going to stand before the king one day, it won't be a small king. But you're going to stand before a king one day. And he's going to ask you some questions. You better ask some good answers.
Yeah.
You better have some good answers. And here's Nehemiah standing before the king with Holy Ghost boldness. Been praying for 4 months, fasting and praying and mourning and weeping over something that was valuable to him, something that was important to him. And listen what he says. Why should not my countenance be set? I remember he said it after he let the king know that he was all right. I believe Nehemiah, and I had studied this part of Nehemiah, I believe Nehemiah was a warrior. See, a king don't want a weak man around him.
Right.
Don't y'all think for one moment because Joseph was Potiphar's
second
man that Joseph was weak.
Yeah.
Joseph probably was a skilled fighter, a warrior. And I believe Nehemiah was a warrior. No king want a weak man around. Okay? Not a cupbearer. Not an armor guard. Watch this. He says, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? This is nothing but sorrow of the heart. Then I was sore afraid. I was very afraid. Listen, nothing wrong with being afraid. Well, that is nothing wrong with being afraid. When you stand before God, and you're asking God to do some work in your life, you ought to be afraid. Because the moment you decide to do what's right,
Amen.
All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. The moment you decide to make a move and say, I'm going to leave Satan's camp and I'm going to serve the Lord, you better think about that.
Amen.
That's something to pray about. Because this ain't easy. It ain't easy being saved. It's easy being a thug.
All right.
Get some tattoos, put an earring in, pull your pants down. You got it. That's all it takes.
Amen.
Now I'm thugging. But it's hard to stand before God. It's hard to be God's man or God's woman in a secular, sinful world. That's toughness there. It's hard to stay married and love your wife when you have so many things coming at you. That's what it takes toughness to do.
Yeah, yeah.
We live in a world now where young boys think it's lame to get a job. They see a man walk around with pants tucked in and shoes shine and working every day. They think he's a sucker.
Amen.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time. You working for a man. Huh? Because I got a job, I'm a lady. That's the mentality that we're dealing with.
Amen.
Martin Luther King never grabbed his turnover in the grave.
Yeah.
Gave his life for this. That's something to think about.
Amen.
And he said to the king, I don't know how far I'm getting today. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever.
Yeah.
But then he said, why should my countenance not be sad? When the city, he didn't say Jerusalem, he was being wise. The Bible says he ought to be wise as serpents and meek as doves. He was being wise. Jerusalem had a bad day. Jerusalem had a bad name. They were all known as this kind of rebellious people. getting a bad name.
All
right. McShane said it years ago. Years ago. Tell him Shane lived in the 1800s, early 1900s. He said it years ago. He said, I went to the church looking for the Lord. Looking for the Lord, I found the world. He said, I went to the world looking for the church. And I found the world, found the church. I hope I said that right.
Yeah.
He said he went to the church looking for the Lord, and he found the world. And he went to the world looking for the world, and he found the church. Years ago. And that folks, the church got a bad name. A couple weeks ago, preacher died at a hotel. Covered in cocaine.
Yeah.
8,000 members.
Yeah.
Ted Haggard, 17,000 member church. In a hotel with a homosexual smoking meth.
Lord Jesus.
That's on a major scale. We get on a local level. We get on a local level. Church got a bad name.
Yes.
So Nehemiah knew that he didn't get the name Jerusalem. He said this. He said, and I said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, that means their graves, lie in waste. He touched Nehemiah right in his heart. He touched the king right in his heart. He touched him right in his heart. This was a king that understood that. This was a law-abiding king. This was a good king. And any city without law, that's what Nehemiah was basically saying. He was saying, our city, unlike what you're doing, great king, our desertion, we have no law.
Right?
And he said, and when you die, you won't even be honored. This will be like you died and not honored. Your grave is just desecrated or lying in waste in the gates. That's what he's talking about, the gates. That's where law took place. There are consumed with fire, burnt to the ground. We get to chapter 8 now, we're going to talk about the gates. And then the king said unto me, and this is what Nehemiah was praying for 4 long months. He was praying for this opportunity. He said, and when the king said unto me, and I guarantee you, Nehemiah was trembling. He was shaking and trembling for what was going to come out. He says, for what does thou make request? That's a great statement.
Amen.
That was a green light for Nehemiah.
Yeah.
A prepared man. We're going to talk about Nehemiah. These last couple of verses, last couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Nehemiah being a prepared man. Are you prepared to be blessed?
Come on.
Are you prepared to be blessed? He says, what does thou make request? And this would be my idea. First thing he did. So I prayed to the God of heaven. Here's where all blessings flow. And I prayed to the God of heaven. And he had three requests. And I said unto the king, I believe God might have nudged him and say, go for it. Your prayers have been answered.
Amen.
Go for it. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, there's a statement of respect for the king. You don't lose respect when you start talking to people you need favor from.
That's right.
The Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers before you may be entertained. What? Angels unaware, God may have moved on someone's heart. Your boss or someone you know you need a raise. You might have a cousin that need a job. But if you're working like a fool, how are you going to get your brother hired? You call off every payday.
All right.
But you want to get your brother hired. Well, we're looking for some good people that you hire. But you can't go to them.
Amen.
Trying to get rid of you, they don't hire your brother. That's just the truth.
Amen.
Watch this. He shows respect twice. He says, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight.
Yeah.
Okay? You've been watching me. Nehemiah knew the king was watching. He knew he was a good man. He knew he was effectual and fervent. He knew he was a good man. And he could go to the king and say, look, if thy servant had found favor in thy sight, I've done everything you called me to do, and I protected you. This is a valuable man to the king. Are you valuable? How valuable are you to this church? What would stop if you left? How valuable are you? Even to your family. If you had to put it on a personal level, how valuable are you to your family? He says, that thou wouldest, if please the king, and if thy servant found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah. And there's a reason why he said, send me. Because, see, this is the same King Artaxerxes in chapter 4 of Ezra that had ceased the work of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Because they had got rebellious, they had got out of line, they had poor leadership. Now, Nehemiah is making this prayer personal. Read Ezra 4. I don't have time today. But read Ezra 4. Here's the same king that had stopped the work previously. Now Nehemiah is saying, send me. You watched me for all these years, and you know I'm a man of business. He said, send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's talking curse, that I may build it. There's again. That I may build it. What he's saying, name me the executor of this thing. Name me as the governor. That's what Nehemiah was saying. Make me the governor of this thing.
Yes, yes.
He was ready. Yes. He was ready for this opportunity.
Yes.
And that's got to be the question for us. Are we ready for the opportunity?
Yes.
God comes to us and say, you know what? I need someone. We put these prayers up. We put them up. We pray. But are you willing to get into the prayers? Are you willing to say, I'm going to get into that prayer? We talk about these young people in the city running all over the place. We all pray for the city. Pray for the city. But are you willing to go into the city and do some work?
Yes.
When the last time one of us went down City Hall? Call children's service. Say, can I help? Is there anything I can do? I may not be able to do foster care, but is there anything I can do? Maybe just ride a van back and forth, taking these kids to school. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. And some folks say this was Esther's mother-in-law. Okay? So he had faith to sit there. He was waiting for the opportunity. God maybe had set the queen there to let him know, this is okay. You okay? But are you ready? Listen. For how long, verse 6, for how long shall the journey be? Here's you got to remember, our church is just trying to see if Nehemiah was up to task. These are inquiring questions. This is what I'm saying. We ought to be inquiring. Ask some questions, young people. Ask some questions. And listen, the king is asking questions. He's testing Nehemiah. But he's testing the wrong man because Nehemiah is prepared. He is prepared. And the king is testing him. How long shall that journey be? If Nehemiah would have said the wrong stuff, he'd have known this guy's a joker. Ain't no way he did. This is an 800-mile trip. They didn't have horses. I mean, they didn't have airplanes. Buses, they didn't have that. This was an 800-mile trip. Bible says Nehemiah was gone 12 years.
Yeah.
He says, how long shall thy journey be? That's a question. And when will thou return? Because Nehemiah was valuable.
Yeah.
He was an asset. Amen. He was living to my, I need you here. Amen. And he says, and when will thou return? That's all I love, huh? This king loved Nehemiah. I say this all the time. Your boss is all loving. You young people, your principals ought to love you.
Amen.
They ought to love you. Ray, and Jonathan, and Dion, and Cameron, the principals ought to love you.
Amen.
They ought to say, oh, Teddy and Cindy, you guys are doing wonderful jobs.
Amen.
I wish I had a whole school full like yours. Good question.
Amen.
Good question. Jonathan said, yeah, good question. Listen, I'm going to finish. He didn't stop there.
with his request. He knew the door had opened, and here's Nehemiah in verse 7. He says, "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, still show him great respect. Never getting out of line. And all you need to do, due to the glory of God." Here's Nehemiah living out biblical principles to this king. He says, let it be given unto the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. This is a dangerous trip. And Nehemiah was saying, equip me with everything I need to make this journey. And here's this king under the hand of God. He may not even know what he was doing. God was in total control. And Nehemiah is going to say that. God is in total control. And the man and woman of God, God is in total control.
Yes.
And Nehemiah didn't stop there. Verse number 8 said, "And also give me a letter." He said, "Give me a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's force." This was back then, this would be a lumber company.
Yeah.
And he said, "Give me a letter." Nehemiah still it now. You know he in God's will. "Give me a letter of Asaph, the keeper of the king's force, that he may give me the timber to make beam for the gate of the palace, which appertained to be the house for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter in." He said, "Give me everything I need.
All right.
Give me everything I need."
Yeah. Thank
and
you.
When you're right with God, you go to God and say, "Give me everything I need."
Thank you, dear.
When God opened that door, you're going to run through. "Give me everything I need." If God was to come to me right now and say, "Pastor, what do you need for this church?" I say, "God, I need a roof. I need door.
Yeah.
I need windows.
Yeah.
I need carpet. I need pews.
Yeah.
I need a full-size kitchen. I need a all-purpose center out the back.
Yeah.
Brand new parking lot."
Yeah.
Yeah. Ready. So if he ride up in here, brand new car, if I came to you, I told you, you had whatever you that's what you got. What about the church? Okay, I'm not even too cross. Look, he was prepared, that's what I'm trying to say. And not only that, and verse 9, and I'm close with verse 9, and the governor and the king gave him a little extra.
Yes.
He gave something that he knew that they didn't have in Ezra 7. Read Ezra 7. If you read Ezra 7, you understand this text better. And the king gave him what they didn't have when Ezra went to build the temple.
Yes.
He said, that's what he said. And I came to the governor beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. And they had to let me go. But they could not fight against me. Why? They fought against the first movement, and here's why they couldn't fight against him. Because now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with them. Now, captain is over 100 men.
Yes.
So here's Nehemiah going, not by himself, not a few of them, but he had an entourage.
Yeah.
You know, folks, when you're in God's will, no matter what comes against you, you have an entourage.
Yeah.
You have an entourage of folks behind you
that
you can't even see sometimes. God has your back.
Yes.
You get right with God, and God has your back, and you can stand before the enemy.
Right.
And you can stand. When everything around you is falling, you can stand.
Yeah.
Because God has your back.
Yeah.
And we need to know that. We go into these dark places. We don't have to be ashamed of our testimony.
Yeah.
I told y'all the story, and I closed with it with the guy who was working in a factory, and they switched the partners on him. If y'all heard it before, bear with me. As I get older, I can repeat these more often. But the guy he just got a job, and they told him, "You're going to a different department." He thought about that department. He said, "Oh, Lord, why are you sending me up there? They don't know nothing but cuss and swear, read porn magazines. They're the filthiest group of guys, and you sending me up there." And he went home and told his wife, and she said, "Oh, honey, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be okay." This was a man of God, a Christian man. And so he went to work the next day, went up in that department. And he survived the day. He heard all the cussing and swearing and everything. He come home, and his wife, she was excited. She said, "Honey, how was your day? How was your day?" And he said, "It was wonderful. They never found out I was a Christian."
Yeah.
That's how we are. But we don't have to be like that.
Right.
We can stand boldly for the Lord.
We can stand boldly before the Lord in the darkest place. That's what God sometimes does. And we need to learn how to shine in the darkest places.
Yes.
And when we learn to do that, we will be blessed by God. For God wants us to shine. That's why he calls us the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. And then he says, not only that, you're the salt of the earth. And we ought to be bringing flavor everywhere we go.
Yes.
And we ought to brighten up the place. And you have to ask yourself, do you brighten up the place? Nehemiah brightened up this king's house. And he was in Shushan. And he was living like a king. He was living like a king. And God asked him to do something that no one else he could ask him to do. Step down on your high place. Step down and get down into the dirt.
All right. Yeah.
And that's the question, and that's the dilemma I see the church facing. Are we willing to get down and dirty? Because all the truth God is working. Are we willing to get down and dirty to do God's work? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the word is so rich and so full of lessons and so full of illustrations of godly living, of godly principles. We just thank you, Father God, for it. Study on Nehemiah. Father God, we need you to raise up some Nehemiahs. Not just males. When I say Nehemiah, I mean male and female. We need to raise up some men and women that have a burden for the Lord's work. That are willing to make some sacrifices. That are willing to get their house in order so that they can be used by God in a mighty way. Folks, I really believe there's folks sitting in here right now that aren't being used mightily of God, that aren't being blessed by God because they're not being in a position where God can use them. Father God, we know you are a forgiving God. Yes. We know you are a gracious God. Yes. We know, Father God, that you love us, but you want us right. You want us to shine, Father God, as light in a dark world. So, Father God, I would speak to the heart of a young man or a young woman or a young child, Father God, who know they're out of God's will. Father God, give them the power. Give them the strength to get right with you. Get right with you. And, Father God, to some lost soul with you, to a visitor, to a friend, to a family member, to someone here that may be going to church all their life, I challenge them with a question. Do you know me? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Do you call on Him in a time of need? Do you ask Him to deliver you from your struggles? Do you ask Him to deliver you from your pride? From all your lusty desires? Are you leaning on Him? Do you know Him as your Lord and your Savior? Father God, I pray right now. All these things. I pray over everything that was said, Father God. If something was said that displeased you, Father God, I submit unto you. Lay it on my heart. Father, I thank these young people. Thank the old people. I pray for the middle of these folks. That we will come together and do God's work as the Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. The invitation in Christ is out. If you're here and you've heard the word of God, you don't have a relationship with God, you know you need a relationship with God. With God. We ask you to come forth. We're not asking you to come forth and to join this church, even though we wish you would, but we ask you to come forth and say, I need a Savior. I'm lost. I'm doing some crazy stuff. I'm living a reckless life. And if I die living a reckless life like I am right now, there is no doubt in my mind. No matter what they may say at my funeral, I'm going to hell.
All right.
I will die and go to hell. So I'm asking you, as God spoke to me, if you need a relationship with the Lord, if you need a Savior and a Lord, this is the place to come today. The word of God says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. No one knows the day or the hour. This may be the last message I ever preach. but also may be the last one you ever hear.
All right.
Spurgeon said we ought to preach like people preaching to dying people. A dying man preaching to dying people. So if you don't know the Lord, or if you just need a church home, you may already be baptized. You may already receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may need a church home. We welcome you here. We're small. We love each other. We have a wonderful time here. You may be here. You may need to rededicate your life. You may feel like I've been out of God's will. I've been living reckless. I've been doing what I want to do, and I know it's not right. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to start today. I want to start today. I want to get on that path today to right living. Not perfect living. There's none righteous, no not one, but I want to live for the Lord. I want to start today. And I'm asking you, Pastor, pray for me.
All right.
Pray for me that I will have power to walk this Christian life. It's difficult. It's lonely. It's tough. You're going to be under attack. But the blessings at the end are so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to know that when you die, and you will, that spirit will just rush out of your body and go to be in the presence of God. That's a wonderful thing. And I'm not trying to sell fire insurance up here. I'm not selling.
All right.
I'm not selling hell insurance. I just want you to pray. But we're all going to leave here. In 50 years, just be a few folks here. But no one knows. And many of us will be long gone. We'll be in our eternal destiny in 50 years. Some of us 20, some of us 10. No one knows the day or the hour.
That's right.
So if you don't know the Lord, we ask that you just come today.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.